Good morning. Glad that everyone is here and those who are watching and worshiping with us, joining us remotely. Glad that you are tuning in from wherever you are. We are in a series on submission, and I've kind of good news and bad news on this. If you'd like us to move on to another topic, that'll be next Sunday. But today, you know, one question is: do you see the beauty in submitting? The beauty in submission. It's a unique thing. It's a thing that our world doesn't appreciate very well. It's something that our humanness does not embrace naturally, submission. But there's great blessing in it. And I hope today that we'll see that even further than we have so far. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And really with submitting, the blessing is secondary. The blessing is initially to whoever you're submitting to, you're blessing them. And Christ submitted to the Father and died on the cross for us. He blessed the Father. But when we submit, we have indirect blessing toward ourselves. This is a chapter that talks about submission. And in verses 1 and 2, it sets the tone for us. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We're going to notice two words today in this sermon and really key on those. And one is love, and the other is sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. If we read down to verse 18, we read in this setting of church gathering, "Do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." That's all one sentence, by the way. Paul can be wordy in his writing, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, finds its way in Scripture. And this is a long sentence that says a lot. There's a lot in here. But I want us to notice verse 21. This is to the church. And a good word for us is the word yield. Yield to one another. In fact, some translations use that word here. Yield to one another. It's something we do in church. We should be looking for ways to let someone else go first. Let them have their way. Let them have the blessing. Yield. And we do it for love for one another, but sometimes, have you ever needed to yield to someone and you didn't feel love about it, but you knew you needed to, and you did it, and you may not have done it for love for the person or a feeling of love for them, but maybe you did it out of love for God, out of reference for Christ. And that's really, ultimately, when we talk about submitting, sometimes it's very, very hard, and we can't do it for all the best and the purest reasons. Sometimes it just comes down to a, "God, I love you. I've given my life to you. I do this out of respect and reverence to you." Amen. And then Scripture turns in 22. It turns to the marriage relationship. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." There's a lot here. Our society doesn't understand this, by the way. This scripture talks about headship, and we looked the last couple weeks in 1 Corinthians about a whole passage on headship. God teaches us there is headship. And we live in a day and time that doesn't understand that. But the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is itself its Savior. This is not, so when this talks about the husband as the head of the wife, it's not talking about value. It's not talking about who's better. It's about God-given responsibility. And as the church submits to Christ, Let me ask you, do you submit to Christ? Of course we submit to Christ. We should submit to Christ. We need to submit to Christ. And out of what motivation do you submit to Christ? And the answer is out of love. I submit to Christ out of love. And that is the picture for wives submitting to their husbands. Jesus said, you remember when Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? Love. This chapter is about love. Submission is about love. Wives, why should wives submit to their husbands? Out of love for their husbands, to bless their husbands, and out of love for Christ. And I want you to understand, in this word submit, the word that we have here for wives submitting to their husbands is the Greek word hupotasso. It means to place under. It's something that she does. She chooses because God calls her to this. It's not something the husband makes her do. There's no scripture, husbands, make your wives submit. This message of submission, by the way, is not to husbands. Men, that's not to us. If you're a husband, it's not to you. It's to wives. And it is, the word means to place under. Wives, you're doing this because God asked you to. It's not because your husband is better, more knowledgeable. This is God's design. And it's a choice you make. Let me ask you, when Jesus was crucified, was he forced to be crucified? Or did he offer himself? Did they kill him? Or did he offer his life to be killed? And the answer is, he offered it. The truth is, he submitted. They did not overpower him. He let them take him, bind him, nail him to a cross. That's submission. And we contrast that, incidentally, if you look in Colossians about children obeying their parents, it's a similar word, but it's also very different. When Colossians says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, the Greek word here is hupakuo, and it means to listen and conform to. It means to hear it and do it. Children, God tells you, obey your parents. Just do what they say. Don't argue with them. Don't whine about it. God says to children, just obey them. Incidentally, when children whine, they shouldn't, but as parents, many times we've taught them to. When children argue, they shouldn't. Children, just obey. I'm not saying don't have a voice. I'm not saying don't ask questions or don't communicate how you feel. I'm saying when children argue, and we say as parents, I don't know why my kids just argue with me all the time. I don't know why, you know, he whines all the time. And the answer is oftentimes we've taught them to do that. They do that. They do that. They do that. Okay, fine. Fine. Go ahead. And then I don't know why they whine. I don't know why they keep doing that. We teach them to do that. And in fact, 1 Timothy 3 verse 4 tells deacons, says about deacons, he must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. It's a scripture telling us as parents, in particular dads, and it's a stipulation for deacons, we are to keep our children submissive. It's not that way with husbands and wives. It doesn't say that husbands to a wife, and it's not the same word at all. But with our children, yes, we are to keep them, we're to train them, we're to teach them. And through rewards and consequences and punishments, you can train your children to be submissive. If you just get one statement on parenting, it's this: say what you mean and mean what you say consistently. That's parenting. It's not easy. It is not easy. As an older dad, I will say, get your work in when they're young. Put your work in when they're young. Any amens on that, older parents? Get it in when they're young. It is hard. It is hard as parents, but it pays rewards for your children. And so Fathers, keep your children obedient. Wives, submission is your act of love to God. You're placing yourself under your husband's leadership. And you may not always do that out of love for your husband. That is a pure motivation to, but you may not always feel love for your husband. Sometimes your husband's going to act like a jerk. I didn't get many amens on that, but I guarantee you that's true. Sometimes your husband's going to fall short. He's not going to act like he always should. And your motivation may not be at times out of love for him, but it can be out of love for God. And it honors God. All right, let's go to 25. Incidentally, this passage on husbands and wives in Ephesians, about 75% of what Paul writes here, what Scripture has, is for husbands. 25% is for wives. So let's talk about husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave, sacrifice. Himself up, sacrifice. For her love. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Did Christ submit to the church? No, Christ was head and is head over the church. Christ doesn't submit to us. We don't tell Christ what to do. Christ leads. We follow. Christ didn't submit to the church. Christ sacrificed for the church. He sacrificed. He put the needs of the church first. He laid down his life for the church. Christ washed the dirty feet of his apostles. He served them. He even washed Judas's feet. Sinful Judas. Christ washed their feet. Christ led the church through servant leadership. When we talk about leadership in Scripture, it's different than in our world today. It's not domineering. It's serving. Husbands, we need to treat our wives with greater love, greater service, greater sacrifice. What should husbands do for their wives? The answer is whatever she needs. Didn't hear any amens on that either. Whatever she needs. What does she need? Bless her. Care for her. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7, a kind of a parallel passage here, says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Some translations will say, according to knowledge. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Women, on average, typically are, they're not as tall as men, they're not as strong as men physically. Their bodies are made different. And God did not make men stronger so we could domineer. He made men stronger so we could serve and sacrifice and protect and love. We are to honor her. We are to understand. Now look at this. Live with your wife in an understanding way. That means learn who she is. You didn't marry women, you married, if you're a husband, you married a woman. A woman. When I first married Stephanie, I thought, I understand women. I mean, my mother is a woman, after all, and I have a sister who's a woman, and I've gone to church with women. I have some cousins that are women. I work with women, and I thought, yes, they're different, but I've married one of them, and I understand women. And of course, you know, I did not understand women. Not at all. Not at all. And if you've been married for 5 years or more, you know what I'm talking about. You think you got it, You think you get it, and you don't. You don't. Not to mention that you didn't marry women, you married a woman. That one is unique. She's not like all the rest. But that's your bride, and that's who you are to learn about, study. As a female, that's a different model, men. And women, you understand, the same the other direction. It's a different, God made it, she's a different model. And then your wife, if you have a wife, she's very unique. She feels different. She thinks different. She changes her mind. And she has flaws. And you do too. Marriage is not easy. There's a reason that long marriages are not commonplace. It's not easy. But understand your wife. Loving our wives means, think about 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. So that tells us, husbands, when Scripture says love your wife, it doesn't just mean feel some love for her. It means, husbands, be patient with your wife. Husbands, be kind to your wife. Husbands, don't envy your wife. Husbands, don't boast to your wife. Don't be arrogant to your wife. Don't be rude to your wife. Don't insist on your own way with your wife. Don't be irritable with your wife. Don't be resentful of your wife. Husbands, are we doing that? Sacrificially. Let's read on. Let's go back to Ephesians, go further. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Nourishes. Husbands, do you feed your body? Of course you do. Do you give it fluids? Of course. Maybe you take vitamins. Maybe you exercise. Do you get good rest? Yes. That's what my body needs. Yes. It means you take care of it. You take care of your body's hygiene needs. You take care of what your body needs. And that's how you care for it. And God is saying, husbands, I want you to care for your wives that way. You take care of her. You treat her well. The word cherish here means tenderly care for. It means to keep warm. We have a wood stove at our house, and I've not had one of those before. So this winter has been kind of the first for us, and I'm learning about that. Before, we had a fireplace, so we'd burn fire in the fireplace, and it had a gas starter. So you would put the wood in there and turn the gas on and walk away for a while and come back when it's, you know, nice and burning hot, and we'd turn the gas off and that fireplace would just burn. Well, a wood stove is different. It's designed to burn efficiently and put out heat, and so you shut the door and the thing. Anyway, it's a whole different animal. And they say every wood stove is unique and no two alike. I don't know anything about that because I only have one, and I can just tell you about this one. And it's there's a little bit of a learning curve. So I did some reading before we got it, and I did some studying about it. I read about it, watched some videos. I thought, I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, how hard could it be? So I thought I had it, kind of like a newly, you know, married man. I got this. And I did not have it. And so, you know, this didn't work, and that didn't work, and why does this? And then the atmosphere will change its mind. What's going on outside? That affects it. So anyway, it's taken a while to learn. But when I make a fire in that thing from scratch, in other words, no hot coals, if I'm starting and it's kind of cold, I start with the little stuff, and I've got to have some cardboard. And anyway, I'll get this thing barely going, and I have a bar stool. I will sit right next to this wood stove, and I watch it. And it burns for a little bit, and I'll open the door, shut the doors. I'll do the things I can do, get that thing going a little bit. I'll add a little more, and it takes time. I cherish it. Cherish is not just an emotion, but in the text here, you're taking care of something as it progresses. I know how to do that now. And God is telling husbands, care for your wife. In fact, in the Greek terminology here and doing some word study and looking at, well, what do these words mean? And so, you know, my resources would tell me different words that the inherent in these Greek words, nourish and cherish. And in all that study, one word I noticed that was included in all that was the word pamper. Pamper. Amen. I got an amen out of that one, finally. All right. Pamper. Pamper her. That's what husbands are to do. Verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This passage kind of culminates, draws down to this one verse, and it should not be a surprise. Let's step away from that for a minute. If you talk to most wives who are frustrated in their marriage, there's a common theme that you'll typically hear from wives, and that will be, she will say, I don't feel like he loves me, or I don't feel loved by him. And there are times in my marriage when, and incidentally, I'm not the perfect husband by any stretch. There we go. I didn't get an amen, but she shook her head. I'm not the perfect husband. I know what I should do, and I know what I feel like doing, and this over here runs the show way too much. But there have been times that Stephanie would say, I don't feel loved by you. And that would make me mad. It's kind of Eliot's version of mad. Anger is not one of my things, but in my little version of anger, that would irritate me, because I would think, you know what? Really? You don't feel loved? I mean, I do this and this and this, and then, you know, and then I'll go think by myself for a little while later when I calm down, and I'm thinking, you know, I really haven't. Yeah, probably. I haven't spent much time with her. Really haven't listened to her much. That's never been my forte. Yeah, I can kind of see where she's coming from. Wives will say, I don't feel loved by him. Husbands, that's not usually what they say. They may say, I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel admired. I don't feel respected. That's what husbands will say. And lo and behold, what did God tell us? Let each of you love his wife, and let her do what? Respect her husband. God's the one that designed us. He knows how we are. He knows what we need. And we need to serve each other. We need to love each other according to the other's needs. I have a plant in my office, and I saw it a while back, and I like how that looked, and so we got that, and Stephanie got that for me, and she put a card with it, and this is the card, and I have this card in my office. It says, for my favorite guy, when you look at this in your office, remember I love you and praying for you, and I think you are fantastic. Your biggest fan. Wives, you may not fully, I don't expect you to fully understand what a note like that means to a husband. But men, you understand what it means when your wife admires you, when she cheers you on, when she supports your leadership, when she is your helpmate, when she respects you. It is a big deal. Ladies, it is a big deal. It is a big blessing. Do you see the beauty in submission? And when husbands cherish and pamper their wives, it is a big blessing to her. It's a blessing. And God is trying to tell us, bless each other. So wives, you bless your husbands when you encourage him, when you help him, when you admire him, when you believe in him. When you believe in him, when you cheer him on. Husbands, you bless your wives when you put her first, when you sacrifice for her, when you care for her, when you listen to her. Let me say that one again. When you listen to her, when you cherish her. We're going to sing a song. Love one another. This is what God teaches us, and it is a beautiful thing. And so I encourage you to do as I think we've all hopefully done during this sermon in some way with someone else. I need to yield more. I need to love more. And so may we do that. If you're here this morning and you have a need that we could help you with, we'd love to stop and pray for you. We'd love to stop and help someone come to Christ. If you've never become a Christian, never had your sins washed away in baptism, let us help you if you come while we stand and sing.
Love.